Good morning, everyone.
Oops. Hey, throw me the bag, Jamie.
I'm not quite sure how to follow that, Ralph. thank you, man. That was awesome. One quick thing about Ralph and Children's Ministries. By the way, sorry, I didn't introduce myself. If you're new here, my name is Jamie. I'm one of the pastors. One of the things about our children's ministry is that, as a father, I'm speaking as a father now, and also just as a church member, I absolutely love that gospel project. It is phenomenal what the kids are learning. Really, really cool. And I'm really excited about that open session that Ralph talked about, teaching our kids to worship. So they're going to be all coming together in the youth center and then going off to their various classes. So good job. I'm looking forward to that. In his book, Making Vision Stick, Andy Stanley tells the story of General Motors' market ascendancy and then decline. GM dominated the American car market for some 50 years with a market share kind of hovered just above around 50% thereabouts for that long. And their original vision back in 1924 was to have five distinct car brands for five distinct types of car buyers. The spread the range of the socioeconomic kind of platforms. And these were different car buyers that they identified, and so that's what they set out to do. So back in 1924, though it may be different now in what you know about General Motors, back in the 20s, Chevrolet was branded and priced for the first time car buyer. And then Pontiac was branded and priced for somebody to upgrade to, should you have a little bit more disposable income. Car buyers could then upgrade to an Oldsmobile, and then a Buick, and finally a Cadillac. And this was an absolutely genius approach, because what GM was able to do is that they were able to seek out market share at all five distinct areas that they saw of socioeconomic platforms. And so it was no surprise that they soon became the absolute king of the American car market, with that huge market share and dominance for some 50 years or so. The thing is, though, church family, what happens with growth is that you get unavoidable complexity. And in the midst of that kind of complexity, the simplicity of vision can be lost. And so that happened for GM. So the price points among the brands began to overlap. And so instead of these five brands kind of knowing their place in the market, they actually started to compete against each other for the same customers and the same dollars. And over time, what happened, as brand clarity diminished, so did market share and market dominance. And so today, if you go on the Chevrolet Canada website, instead of that original vision for what Chevrolet would be, you can actually buy a Chevy for anything from a $12,000 Chevrolet Spark to a $55,000 Corvette. It's not the same as GM first envisaged it. Though you have to be really careful when you use business strategies and you try to talk about the church, because the church is certainly not a business, nevertheless, there are some things that transfer and some things that can help us and help us explain things. And so when a church grows in size, or when a church diminishes in size, or as lead pastors come and go over the years, or as new people come in with new skills and gifts and new ministries are birthed, as elder boards change year after year, as our context changes, our neighborhood changes, and so the way in which we do ministry needs to change, as all of those things happen, it's very easy for us to get a bit muddled about our vision. Things become more complex, things are still with us that maybe shouldn't be anymore, and it's just easy to get muddled over our vision in the same way we drift, just like General Motors kind of drifted from their original vision. And so we start asking questions like, well, who are we exactly, and what are we trying to achieve as a church? We have all these various different ministries that we do, and all these programs, and they're all great, but are they all taking us somewhere, or are they just happening because they just happen? There are a plethora of things that we also could be doing, and many of you out there probably think of some things that we should be doing. But again, we have to assess, we can't do everything as a church. But how do we decide what to do and what not to do? Well, I think that vision can help us. Because if we have a more concise sense of who we are and where we're going, we can better decide the things to do to get there. It makes sense, doesn't it? Vision is that important. Back in June, I unpacked for you, if you were here then, three teaching Sundays on our vision and our mission at the time, mending, sending, and maturing. And I talked to you about how important I think that mission and vision are. I talked to you about the importance of these kind of overarching things that kind of lead us in a certain direction and so on. But I also shared with you how I'd actually been struggling a little bit recently, and our pastoral team had too. And we've been struggling with understanding mending, sending, and maturing as actually a vision statement, because I don't think it is. Mending, sending, and maturing are wonderful ways in which we choose to organize ourselves. They're great ministry emphases. They are things that we hang our ministries from. Well, this is a mending ministry, and this fits sending, and this fits maturing. They're organizing principles, but it's not a statement of vision, really. And so I talked about that in June, and let me just say to you that if you are new to our church community here, or if you missed one or more of those messages, I'm going to encourage you to go away and go onto our website and listen to those three sermons, Mending, Sending, Maturing, or grab the CD, fill out the form to get the CDs. And I say that just because it's really important, those three things, because they help define where we're at and who we are and what we care about and those kind of things. So they're really important to understand some of the DNA of Sevenoaks these days. So I encourage you to do that. But what I also said to you, if you recall, back in June, was that at our full kickoff, so this morning, I was going to unpack for you a new, concise, overarching statement of vision that is more directive, that points the arrow finer, that shows us where we need to go. Tony, could you bring up the slide for us? The new vision statement, friends, is to know Jesus and to make him known. And for some of you, you might think, well, that's not actually completely unique, and it's not completely novel, but it is very simple, and it is very profound, to know Jesus and to make him known. So what are we about in this new era of Sevenoaks? This is not just a new ministry year, but actually we're entering into a new era, I sense, a new beginning. We're moving in a new direction. This is where we're going. And while there is some overlap over mending, sending, and maturing, and how they fit in, and underneath this new vision statement, largely speaking, though, maturing fits with knowing Jesus. Everything we do related to come to know him and mature in our faith. And mending and sending tend to fit under making him known. The things that we do to declare God's kingdom rule to our city and to our world. To know Jesus and to make him known. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time this morning unpacking the two parts of that vision statement. First of all, to know Jesus. We want to be a church body that becomes absolutely obsessed with knowing Jesus, knowing about him, but more knowing him. And it's already been alluded to a little bit in some of our music and some of our statements from the other pastors this morning. To know Jesus is absolutely fundamental to relationship. To know Jesus is absolutely fundamental to the Christian faith. When we first make that step over the line of faith, when you and I first became a Christian, or if you haven't yet, if you become a believer, what happens is you immediately come to know him. However, like with any relationship, over time, you have to build that. You have to get to know him more. You have to deepen that relationship. You have to increase your intimacy with God. You need to come closer to him. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you, says God. And as we do that, I mean, there's various ways in which we come to know Jesus. One of it is through worship, right? Because as we worship something, we get formed by it. And I'm not talking about just standing there and looking at the screen and singing the words, but not engaged. I'm talking, and I'm not making fun of anyone. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? You can sing without actually worshiping. I'm talking about worshiping. Worshiping the living God entering into this holy space where we worship him. So we are formed and we come to know him through worship. We also come to know him through prayer, talking to him, listening to him. We do the first a little bit better than we do the second, I think. But praying, talking to him, and feasting on his word. How better can we come to know him than feasting on his word? And there's many other ways that we come to know Jesus also. And we will unpack those as we continue to move forward together as a church family. But as we do these things, as we become committed to knowing Jesus, we also all of a sudden start to care about the things that he cares about. And all of a sudden, we want to start imitating him. We want to become more like him. And God willing, year after year, we look back over the previous year and we say, yeah, I've grown. I'm closer to Jesus. I'm being formed. My character is changing. Jesus is at work. The Spirit is changing me. We desire to serve him as Lord and Master. We become brutally honest with him in our prayer life. I talked about that last Sunday through Psalm 27. Because how can any relationship truly flourish without honesty? Picture it, Seven Oaks. Imagine it for a moment. Imagine every one of us becoming so obsessed with knowing Jesus. All of us just wanting to grow in him and fostering ways to do that. Wouldn't that just be incredible? Isn't that a fabulous picture? That's vision, friends. To know Jesus, to know him. I'm going to read briefly here from John 17. It's going to come up on your screen there. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven. This is his high priestly prayer. And he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to those whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that you may know him, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And then he goes on to talk about glorifying on earth and finishing the work and so on. Jesus, in this moment, in this prayer, he defines eternal life for us. So we better listen. According to Jesus, eternal life is defined as involving knowing God, knowing him. Knowing Jesus. And that's far more than knowing about him. All of us know things about people. We know things about people we've never even met. But we don't know them. In the same breath, there are probably, I would say probably the vast majority of the population of this planet, not everyone, still unreached people groups, but the vast majority of the planet probably know at least something about Jesus Christ. But we would not say that they all know him. They know about him, but they don't all know him. And so how much do you know about him and how much do you know him is the question. In the original Greek, to know, as used in this passage here, is far more than just a cognitive knowledge. It is actually a communion. It is a union. It is an intimate knowledge. It is an intimate personal relationship. And of course, we will continue to dive into this over the months and years of learning to know Jesus and growing in it together as we live out this view and this vision of church to know Jesus and to make him known. I'm going to call Pastor Norm up, and we're going to be talking a lot about knowing Jesus, but Norm is going to unpack for you now one new way this fall in which you can come to know Jesus. Norm, I feel like I've been a little intense this morning.
You have been tense, yeah.
So I feel like you should tell us a
or
joke.
Or intense.
Could you tell us
intense.
A joke?
A little joke?
Yeah, just a little joke.
I don't know any little
lighten
jokes.
Lighten them up a bit.
I wish I knew a little joke. You mean a short joke or just a little bit funny? Short, because we're running out of time. He said short, Norm. I don't. Oh, no, that's tense. You know something? Actually, we're good. A couple of days ago, I was talking to Pastor Ralph, and my dad told a little joke many years ago that I just got 2 days ago when I was telling Pastor Ralph. So do you want to hear that? Okay. This goes back to when I was really young, just a young guy, and I wanted to get Dad a present for his birthday, and I didn't have very much money, and he didn't have very much hair, so I got him a comb. He had like three strands going over like this, you know, and something I swore I would never do. And so when I gave Dad this comb, he looked at it, and he said, "Norman, I'll never part with this." And I remember, I was so touched. I thought, that's awesome. Dad, thanks, man. You know? So then when I was telling Ralph a couple days ago, oh, man, where were we? Oh, yeah. Spiritual growth, knowing Jesus. We've got spiritual growth, spiritual formation, discipleship is so important within the body of Christ. And we think it's so important. We're launching this fall Life Class at 9:30. That, by the way, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, is why we're starting at 10:30, to have time for this 9:30 class of spiritual growth and formation to help people grow and know Jesus better. You know, the Bible says to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Have you ever had someone say to you, I'm sure you have, God's got a plan for your life, you know? God's got a plan for you, boy. But they don't tell you what it is, much less how to follow it. Friends, we're going to fix that. Starting next Sunday, 9:30, in the community room, a three-week session, how to find and follow God's plan for your life. And you'll notice just under the Life Class logo there, live your faith. Live your faith. That's what it's all about. But you can't live your faith unless you have faith to live by, right? My hope, my expectation, is that you will walk out of that class with a faith that's so solid, so secure, you can throw it out in front of you and walk on it, 2 feet off the ground, or maybe a foot off the ground. As the Apostle John said, it's our faith that overcomes the world. I want you to come out of that class. If you go to all three sessions, guarantee you'll have an overcoming faith or your money back. Donations at the door. Here's what you need to do, friends. Like, I am really pumped about this. Please take out your bulletin, look at the back of it. This is really key. Work with me here. You'll notice under In Touch in the very back, remember how we tear that off if we're interested? See under In Touch, I'm interested in Life Class, Deacon, Starting Point. Life Class Childcare. Friends, this is good for everyone, young and old, new Christians, long-term Christians, parents. This is especially good for parents. Seriously, you're going to be blessed with this. But if you want to come and you need childcare, just put the number of kids in there. Put the number of kids in there. Maybe put your name at the bottom, tear it off, and ushers will take this from you as you leave the church this morning. I want to see you there. I think you'll be blessed big time. Please do that, and God bless you. Jamie, over to you.
Thanks, Norm. Yeah, thanks for doing that thing with the kids. So that'll just help us to plan. So you're not making an absolute commitment, but at least we can sort of plan that kid care. So thanks. Thank you, Norm. Yeah, absolutely. That is one way to grow, to know Jesus, and that's one of the things we're putting into place for this fall. And of course, again, like anything, you know, you can go to a class like that and you can learn a bit more about him, but it's communion that's key, and it's putting into practice and obedience and all those kind of things that is key. Just like you can read your Bible and come to know about Jesus, but not actually know him. It's the communion with him that is key, isn't it? Yes. All right, another way that we grow to know God, to know Jesus together is through group life and doing stuff together. And so I mentioned to you back in June that I sense that we've got a certain amount of traction in our mending ministries, a certain amount of traction in sending, particularly across the ocean, missions, perhaps not so much more, so much in the evangelism kind of across the street, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But the one area that I really felt that we needed some traction was maturing. Not to say that people aren't growing and maturing, but in terms of actually us emphasizing ways in which we can grow in discipleship, mentorship, formation, group life, medium-sized groups, small groups, all that kind of stuff. So that is and I mentioned to you in June, that is a medium-term goal. We're going to be leaning into that. Our short-term goals were to usher us into one service. It was to hire a worship pastor and to address this part of sending that is across the street. I'm going to get to in a few moments. Those are some short-term goals. The other one is medium-term. I want you to know that that we are going to be leaning into group life in the months ahead. To know Jesus and to make him known. The other part of the vision statement is to make him known. So as well as growing in our intimacy with Jesus, coming to know him more, we also want to be a church body that sets its face firmly towards sharing and declaring our faith to other people. We want to be a church body that becomes resolute in its desire to see our friends and our family and our co-workers and our neighbors and all of those come to a living knowledge and an intimate relationship with the Father that we enjoy, to make Jesus known, to declare him in our city and beyond, to know Jesus and to make him known. We want to do that, right? Yes. Yes. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Many of you know this verse very, very well. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the very end of the age." The gospel of Jesus Christ is all about Jesus taking the world from where it was to a place where his rule and reign will be full and complete. And that is tied up with his second coming. That is tied up with a still future reality. So how then are we driven by the gospel to live our life in that space between his first coming that we celebrate every Christmas and his second coming that is still a future reality? How are we to live in this space? Well, a key part of the gospel and how we live here is that we engage in activities where Jesus' future rule and reign can burst into the present and be active in the earth and in our planet and in our world and in our community today. And that's all tied up with declaring God's kingdom, seeing people come to faith, enjoying a harvest, where all of a sudden in somebody's life, Jesus' rule and reign has been made real. This is a key part of the gospel, and it's unpacked for us there in the passage that I just read to you. And so, just as Christ was sent, and just as the Spirit was sent at Pentecost, so the church has been sent. That is you and that is me. We are a fundamentally a sent people, sent into our world to declare the gospel to other people. And just as Jesus called the fishermen by the Lake of Galilee, and he called them into a 3-year discipleship journey where they followed him around and they learned little by little what his kingdom declaration was all about. And as they followed him, they began to imitate him and began to be shaped by him and began to develop a worldview like he did. Just as that happened, so his followers, ever since then, have had the responsibility and the calling of doing the same, of going into our world and calling people to come and follow Jesus and to walk with them in a discipleship journey where they grow and they start to become more like Jesus alongside us. Key part of the gospel. And one of our ministry emphases that flows out of a vision of making Jesus known is mending. Mending. Joining Jesus in mending the brokenness that we see in people's lives and in our world. And as we do that, as we serve and as we love and as we become avenues of grace to these people, what often happens is that a platform is created for us to share the gospel, and to share our faith, and our actions declare it also. And we've seen it happen in this church. It happens through our addiction recovery ministry is one example, but there are others too. We've seen it happen. Mending is a way in which people come to know Jesus and we make him known. I'm going to ask Pastor Lyle to come up. Where are you, Lyle? There you are. And Lyle is going to unpack for you a bit of a relaunch of a ministry that is focused in on mending. I'll move this out of the way for you, man. Mending and flowing out of this, making Jesus known. Go ahead, Lyle.
You notice he didn't ask me for a story. I'm Lyle. I'm one of the pastors here, and I want to start by reading a couple of verses from the Bible. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. And then the words of Jesus, "For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." These verses describe one of the ways that we, this church family, can make Jesus known. We make Jesus known by sharing his love with orphans and with widows, with those who are in distress. We make Jesus known by sharing his love as we feed those who are hungry, as we give water to those who are thirsty, as we invite strangers into our homes, as we clothe those who have a need, as we care for those who are sick, and as we visit those who are lonely. We make Jesus known by showing his love in practical ways to those who are in distress, to those who have a need. And sometimes this happens spontaneously here at Seven Oaks. If you're in a small group and somebody in your small group has a need, the group looks after it. Or if one of your friends has a need, you gather around your friend and help that person. But there are times here at Seven Oaks in our church family where it doesn't happen spontaneously, where people get missed, where they have a need, where they're in distress, and those needs aren't met. In the book of Acts, which is part of the Bible, it tells about the church in Jerusalem. And the church in Jerusalem was having a problem. There were some in the church whose needs were not being met. Some of the widows were being missed out in the daily food distribution. So the church gathered a small group together who would look after those needs and make sure that the needs were met in a way that was fair to all. And those who were chosen, we call them deacons. And the word deacon simply means one who serves. And that's why we're reinventing and putting together a group here at Seven Oaks that we're going to call our deacons. Because we don't want anyone in our church family to be missed if they have a need or if they're in distress. And so our church family, our deacons are going to do a number of things. They're going to care for widows and orphans, look after those who are in distress, take a meal to someone who has a need, care for those who are sick, and visit those who are lonely. Our deacons will serve others because they love Jesus and because they want to share the love of Jesus with others who are in need. What a beautiful way to make Jesus known. There's a sheet that looks like this in your bulletin, and on it is a list of some of the things that our deacons will be doing, some practical things that our deacons will do to make Jesus known, to demonstrate the love of Jesus to those who have a need, to those who are in distress. And folks, this is love in action. Our deacons are going to phone or visit people who are sick and who are lonely and who are in distress. Perhaps they'll visit someone who's in the hospital or someone who's in a care home or someone who is living at home but can't get out. They're shut in. Our deacons will give rides to those who can no longer drive but need to get out to get their groceries or to go to a doctor's appointment. And our deacons are going to provide meals for those who find themselves in an emergency situation and can't make a meal for themselves. And like I said, this is love in action. This is making Jesus known to those who are going through a hard time, to those who have a need, to those who are in distress. And right now, we have 18 people in our church family who have made the choice to become deacons. And I want to open this up to every one of you. If you feel God calling you to become one of our deacons here at Seven Oaks, I'm going to ask you to take the bulletin, fill out that in touch form, and give it to the ushers as they're standing at the back, or just to call the church office and ask to talk to me, because I'd love to talk to you about becoming one of our deacons so that we can make Jesus known in this way. Thank you.
Thanks, Lyle. That's true religion, friends. That is true religion. Wonderful. Absolutely. Another of our ministry emphases that fit under making Jesus known, of course, is sending. Sending one another into the world. And it comes right out of the passage that I just read. And, you know, we are a Christian and missionary alliance church. So we get foreign missions, right? We get it. And we support missions through financially. We support missions through prayer all the time. A few years ago, we began our own impart ministries to Cuba and Cambodia, a particular foci on these two areas of the world as a church body. And so, you know, we are moving forward. This is good and this is right in missions, and we continue to put a spotlight on that. But as I mentioned to you a few minutes ago, back in June, I said, while we have traction in that area, the area that we maybe struggle with a little bit more is the whole area of sending one another across the street and understanding that we're, as much as we're sent to the uttermost parts of the earth, we're sent to our neighborhoods and workplaces and schools and all of those things to be witnesses and missionaries right here in Abbotsford. And one way that we're going to address this, and there will be other ways in the future, but one way we're going to address this is, and I'm excited to share this with you, is the launch of a brand new ministry called Starting Point. And Starting Point is for people who are curious about God. People who haven't yet given their life to Jesus, but are curious and have questions and want to ask them, but they don't always know where to ask or how to ask or whether they even should. It is for people who are maybe brand new believers, just come to faith but need to get rooted in the basics. It is for people who have perhaps been in the spiritual wilderness for a while and have walked away from church and faith and are just coming back and need to re-engage. That's what Starting Point is all about. That's who it is for. It is purposefully small. It's going to be a purposefully, intentionally smaller group to allow for people to feel comfortable, to be able to share and get to know one another over time, to feel comfortable with those other people, to be able to ask the kind of questions that they want to ask. In that safe environment, it'll be a short video, some facilitated discussion and all of that. And our first Starting Point group begins next Sunday. And it's going to be at the 9:30 a.m. slot, so while life class is happening at 9:30, we'll have Starting Point happening at 9:30 as well. It's going to be led and facilitated by Ron and Joey. Give us a wave, Ron and Joey Demers there, fantastic. And we've already signed up some people up for this one. We've been working on it over the summer, some people who are searching, some people who are brand new to faith here in Seven Oaks. So we've already signed some people up, but there's room for about another 3 or 4 people. So if you fit in that category, you're brand new to the faith, you're returning to the faith, you are here and you come to church and you like it, but you're not really sure, you have questions, then I want to encourage you, again, on that in-touch piece on the back of your bulletin, there's a box for Starting Point. You can check it, fill out your details, tear it off, hand it to one of our ushers, just as you will with the deacons and with the life class, number of kids, that kind of thing. Hand it to our ushers on the way out. If you are sitting there and you're thinking, you know what? I know somebody who this would be really, really good for. I'm going to encourage you to go and invite them. Don't just sign them up. but actually go and invite them and cast a vision for them and let us know in the next couple of days. Let us know that you think that they want to be involved and we can get in contact with them. Sign them up. Call the office. Call one of the pastors. Or call Ron and Joey if you know Ron and Joey. And we all get that all organized. This is exciting. I'm so pumped about this one. I am all of them. But I mean, I'm pumped about this one because it flows out of this vision. A real area that I feel has been missing in our church for a while, to know Jesus and to make him known. Finally, church family, you've been hit with a lot of new things today, a new starting time to church next Sunday, a new way of doing children's ministry Sunday mornings, a new ministry Starting Point, a relaunch of the deacons, the life class, a lot of new stuff coming at you. And that's okay, and it's good because this is a new season. But I think it is incredibly fitting for me to close out now by saying a few things about prayer. No church can ever move into all God is calling the local church to be without prayer. We need to be a praying church family. Prayer needs to be a priority. It needs to undergird everything that we do here at Seven Oaks. Because church, we want revival, don't we? Yes. When I first got called to ministry, when I first sensed the call to ministry, I just said to the Lord, God, I would love it at some point in my future, wherever I end up in the world and whatever I end up doing, I would just love to be involved in an incredible revival situation. Wouldn't it be incredible? Wouldn't it be fantastic if Seven Oaks was a place that was a recipient of the outpouring of God's Spirit in a fresh and new way? Wouldn't that be fantastic? Yes. Well, friends, I know that many of you ask for it. I know you do and you pray for it. But you know what? You need to keep asking. And if you're not asking about it, you need to start. And once you've asked for it, then you need to ask for it again and keep asking for it. Let it be, Jesus. Let it be. Some of the ways that I want to just encourage you by leaning into prayer a little bit, a few ways. One, I'm going to do a teaching series on prayer this fall, leading into our prayer week. So we're going to do some teaching on prayer and the disciplines. It's going to lead us into what I believe is one of our most significant weeks of our ministry year in November. We've done the last number of years, which is our prayer emphasis. And I'm going to be calling on you again, and I'm going to be challenging you, church family, to be involved. 24/7 prayer for a week, culminating in a prayer service. I'm going to be asking you to step up big time, unabashedly, because you need to. And there is no reason that any of us should not be signing up for hour slots to be praying. It's that important. So we're going to be pushing into that again. I just want to say something about our Tuesday night prayer meeting. We've been meeting a Tuesday night prayer for who knows how many years. 7 p.m. in the community room. Come and pray with us. I just started leading that just this past Tuesday. I'm going to be leading it through September and October. We'll have some of our other pastoral staff involved other months. But friends, 7 p.m. in the community room, it's always open. Come and pray with us. Get on your knees with us. Cry out to Jesus with us. And then the last thing I just want to mention is, I don't know whether you know this or not, but we have a group who prays before the service every Sunday morning. They meet in room 101. So right down the end of the children's ministry hall there, you go past the kitchen on your right, you go past the nursery on your left, keep going, before the doors, room 101 tucked in there, and they pray before the service every Sunday. And so starting next week, they're going to be praying in that 9:30 slot, 9:30 to sort of 10:15 before the service. Life class will be happening, starting point will be happening, our prayer room will be happening. So some of you will go to the life class, few of you will go to the starting point, and some of you can go to the prayer room. Friends, let's get real with our praying, right? Amen. Amen. Absolutely. To know Jesus and to make him known. That's our new vision for a new season. Are you in? Yes.